Welcome, everybody, to the first Riot Pod podcast, the podcast where Sarah and I answer your questions, because Sarah and I get asked a lot of questions, and I figured that it would be a fun way to be able to get some of those frequently asked questions out of the way.
And what are we calling this? Sorry.
The Riot Pod.
The Riot Pod.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, our name is Marriott, and so we just took the R-R-I-O-T-T from that for our media stuff that we do. So,
all right, I'll go with it.
Okay. Something else to keep in mind as we start this episode is there's a house full of many, many people and two dogs. And so there might be some extra background noise in this. We can't prevent that. We can't tell everyone in the universe to go away. And so
you could say it's a riot.
Sure, you could.
It's a riot.
And now this first episode, we're going to break from our regular format, even though we've not done anything yet. And we did take in a bunch of questions, but Sarah decided, that it might be fun to do a Christmas episode instead of just a straight-up Q&A episode.
Well, I figure we've gotten a lot of questions about some of our Christmas habits throughout the years, and so this is a perfect time to answer some of those. So let's start with the first thing that people asked lots of questions about early on is, why don't we have a Christmas tree?
Yeah, we don't have a Christmas tree. That's a true fact.
We haven't had a Christmas tree for many, many years. We did a couple of years ago have a book tree. We shaped books in a pile like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But we have not had a Christmas tree. Alex, is that because you're the Grinch?
Only partly. I don't actually like Christmas tree hunting. I don't like the idea of a fake Christmas tree taking the proxy of a tree. And so that's part, and it actually is part of it, is because I'm a bit of a Grinch. So I'll admit it.
Okay, well, I love Christmas tree hunting. I love going sledding, and I love having hot chocolate and that fun time. So if you ever want to invite me to your family's Christmas tree hunt, I would come and I would bring extra hot chocolate, because I love that part for sure.
But part of it is also, we've had many animals in our house for a long time, and trying to deal with a Christmas tree with, at that time, cats. It was a bit of a mess and a disaster and a perpetual stress.
And small children. We had many, many small children, our own, and then we tend to collect other people's various times of the year. And so we just did not get any joy out of having a Christmas tree. Early on, the kids would go and decorate Christmas trees at both of their grandparents' house, and we just didn't see the reason to have a Christmas tree at our house. So the only reason we were doing it is because it was expected. And we just very early on decided that's a dumb reason to do stuff. So we stopped having a Christmas tree.
Yep.
And now there's more room for more people, which we like. But we do like Christmas trees at your houses. So one of the things that I've been accused of is hating Christmas. I do not hate Christmas. I think Christmas trees are beautiful and Christmas lights are beautiful, but I take no pleasure in setting them up my own house. So I'm happy to clap and wave and tell you how beautiful your tree is.
Is that you do? You clap and wave at Christmas trees?
I do. I clap and wave. I applaud them heartily. I heartily applaud them. Stop sassing me. All right. That was the first one. Christmas trees. Okay. Santa. Santa's a whole thing.
We have a general policy of not lying to our children. Even in a fib scenario, we like the kids to be in on the game when we play a game. And I always thought that the idea of the rug pull that so many kids feel about Santa Claus, I never felt comfortable with that.
I had a trickier time with it because I was an elf for Shaw Cable when we were kids. My brother and I got to hand out candy canes, and we were part of tricking a lot of other children about Santa Claus. And my dad was Santa. So I still had a really nostalgic attachment to Santa. But one of the things in dating Alex that I learned that I really appreciated is that often, like, fairy tales are very interesting, but what's really happening is just as magical or more. For instance, I had a lot of romantic beliefs about what stars were when I was younger, but hearing Alex's appreciation for science and the way the universe works and how excited he would get about the different kinds of stars and the way things functioned. And it was just more magical. And I thought, you know, the fact that the whole world, or what feels like the whole world to us, is playing a big giant game of pretend together is actually, if you could think about it, pretty magical and impressive. And so rather than tricking our kids, Santa came over. My dad would dress up.
Yeah, part of the problem also is our kids were just too smart.
It's true.
For the Santa game. And so, yeah, your dad,
My dad came over one time dressed as a Santa Claus. And Levi was like three. And we had planned to, you know, explain it to him because we, like we said, we wanted them to be in on the joke. And but before we could get to it, Levi says to my mother, "That was sure nice of Granddad to come and be Santa for us." So he had him figured out right away.
Yep.
But we still would go to the mall and sit on Santa's knee, and we still explain to our kids that it is a big game of pretend. And some people's parents were playing that joke, and some people's parents were participating the way we were, but in either case, it wasn't up to us to decide for other families. And so they did a pretty good job keeping the secret, which was important too. And
playing along when necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's Santa.
That's Santa. What's thing three?
Well, okay, I just want to say one more thing about Santa. I also just think it's really weird and creepy that we talk about somebody sneaking into our house at night and eating our cookies
and watching us while we sleep and knowing if we're naughty or nice.
Yeah, I in general have a problem with that idea of like manipulating kids into good behavior with a mythical being.
Yeah, well, I like Saint Nicholas much better as a saint than I do as a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
like giving away all your stuff and the whole giving to the poor, but he's also like a necromancer. There's a story of a guy who stole away some children and then pickled them. And then St. Nick came and tried to sell them as ham. And the St. Nick came along and did his miracle and made the sign of the cross and raised the kids back from the dead. So there's actually some pretty interesting iconography of St. Nick and a barrel of children.
I don't think you've ever told me that story. And that is...
Yeah, St. Nick is a necromancer.
That's really creepy and dark.
Yeah.
So... thanks for that.
Yeah.
Gross.
You're welcome. Yeah. The true meaning of Christmas.
I feel disturbed. Okay, let's move on. I don't want to talk about Santa anymore. All right. Thing number three is stockings. So although we didn't have Santa, we love stockings. At my parents' house growing up, there were so many of us eventually that my dad would hang all these stockings in a hockey stick that he would attach to the wall in the hallway. And then we'd also have to have bags underneath the stockings because the stockings would get so full. It was so fun.
Yeah, so we're talking about the kind lined by the chimney with care, not the long socks that you would wear as like sock pants, or as Shiloh would call them. We're not talking about...
Lederhosen.
Lederhosen, yeah.
I don't think anybody...
No, I'll just add... Sometimes you have to be very explicit.
Okay. Anyways, the tradition when we weren't doing Santa Claus as a gift giver, the tradition became something that everyone contributed to. So even when the kids were younger, they would make little knickknacks for each other, or little cards or things, or we'd give them a couple bucks for the dollar store, and everyone kind of got to contribute to the stocking. And that's something we've continued today with our family and with my extended family, is we all get two or three stocking stuffers for each other. And I like that one because I think about it all year. So if I'm out and about and I'm at a cool shop or in a new town, I'm often thinking, oh my gosh, that my brother would like that, or that would be so fun for Shiloh. And I love picking up those things. The problem is I'm not good at waiting.
Yes. Sarah often gives away the gifts ahead of time and has to repurchase them.
It's a problem. It's a problem. But I like it.
Also, our stockings are generally anonymous. We don't usually have the from part of the equation on them. And so it's nice to be able to just give something to somebody and have them sort of wonder where it came from and try to like point out in the room who's the secretly hiding that smile as you open something. So
especially when something's really weird or mildly inappropriate. You're yes. like, all right, who sent the sweary ornament?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fish breakfast.
It's one of my favorite things that I was introduced to from the Dalton side of the world here.
It's ridiculous. For as long as I can remember, my dad would have pickled herring in his stocking and my brother and I would always want some. And so eventually we started getting them in our stocking and then Gabe started getting escargot and we would have smoked salmon on bagels with cream cheese and somebody would fry oysters. I never liked the oysters. They creep me out. It's like swallowing a slug. It's gross.
Yeah, they're very strong tasting.
I'm not a fan. But then you went crazy with the fish breakfasts.
Yeah, well, we eventually would get like those little smelt. They're like little tiny, almost like sardines. And then I would I'd batter and deep fry those. You know, and so we had those for snacks. And we had kept the smoked salmon and cream cheese on bagels. That's a pretty standard.
Yeah, cans of oysters. Yeah.
Occasionally mimosas to go along with it.
Occasionally mimosas, yeah. Those smelts, especially that first time you did it, you made way too many.
Yeah.
And we just spent the whole day snacking on tiny fish.
Yeah, they come in 2-kilogram bags. And so
maybe you didn't need to cook the entire 2-kilogram bag. Like it was a little overboard.
Yeah.
Especially since 3 out of 7 people actually liked them. So yeah. But it's this year is a little bit different. Selah has been in a marine biology class, and so now we have some regulations on which fish we can purchase and from where, and how we're going to be ethically conscious, which is good. I'm not complaining, but I love me some good seafood.
Yep.
Yeah. December magic.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that we almost accidentally created.
It was accidental.
Yeah, that's true. It was supposed to be a 1-year thing. And so we moved to Kelowna and we didn't have the regular access to family. We couldn't make it back to Cranbrook for the holiday and because road conditions and money.
We didn't have somewhere to live yet. We were house sitting, so we were homeless.
Yeah. And so we didn't know anybody in Kelowna really. And so our very first Christmas here, we decided to just do something special for the kids each day. So a cue card would magically show up somewhere in the house and the kids would go on a scavenger hunt. At first it was very obvious and then it'd be harder and harder to find every day. And then on it would be a task, a game, something we would do. So early in the month, we got a giant puzzle and then it might be like, we're going to eat breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast. And so we'd flip the, eat the pasta and whatever for breakfast and have the bacon and eggs and pancakes for dinner.
We made a list of every single free thing we could possibly find in Kelowna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or cheap. Yeah.
Or cheap. I think one of my favorite things that we do is there's always 1 or 2 board games, and that's something that came from your family.
Yeah, we're definitely board game Christmas people.
Yeah, so that's been fun. I mean, we definitely had to purge a lot of them this year because they were taking over the house. But
yeah, we have a lot of board games.
A lot of board games. And so that's really fun. I like the one we got this year. Taco
Puck.
Maple syrup canoe. Yes, it's a good game. It's a good game. Yeah. One of my other favorite ones was when we did Secret Santa art during COVID. So everyone got a little square canvas, like a small one the size of your hand. And we all drew a name out of a hat and you had to make a piece of art for someone else. But none of us knew who was making art for who until the very end. And so we just all hung out and we painted together that afternoon, and we all got a little piece of art from somebody, which yep. was pretty cool.
It's also how we discovered the art museum downtown and their Sunday craft thing. So if you're in Kelowna, that's a fun thing to do with your family is they have a fun art project that, and sometimes with some of their big machinery, sometimes they use their big presses. You can press stuff or you can do, we did like silk screening one time and we've done like painting on ceramic plates and mugs.
We made lanterns.
Made lanterns and all kinds of neat stuff.
Sometimes it's free. Sometimes it's $4 each, but always a good time.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Do you have any favorites? Favorite December magic things that we've done?
Actually, we always throw in one-on-one dates with our kids as part of one of the things. And so the chance to be able to just, even though there's a ton of people around all the time in the holidays, it's nice to go off one-on-one and make sure that you have those relationships nice and tight with your kids and do fun, adventurous things that you don't normally would, you know, don't do unless you're just with that one person. And so sometimes it's a video game date or you go to a movie and go buy ice cream and lots of ice cream dates actually is pretty standard.
There's lots of ice cream dates for you. You're into the ice cream. I think this year has been the first year since we moved to Kelowna that we haven't really done December magic because our kids are older and nobody's really been around. But we've held on to a few of those things, like the one-on-one dates, although with Levi and Elisa. Levi is our eldest and his wife, Alicia. We went on a double date with them this year. That was pretty great. The other thing that we'll keep, obviously, is board games.
Yeah.
Because can you ever have too many? I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of started falling apart last year. The puzzle took us forever to finish. We got two puzzles. We got one as a gift, and we hadn't been able to open the second puzzle. So we probably should clear the table and actually maybe try to do that over the holidays.
Can we be honest? The very first puzzle was already not going to get finished without help from our friends, the Jarvises.
Well, that was a 10,000-piece puzzle of Noah's Ark. It was humongous.
I just think we need to be honest about the fact that the puzzle every year has been more of a chore than an enthusiastic gift.
That's true.
Yeah. I think we puzzle because we feel like we should be able to be the people that focus for puzzles, but we don't actually love puzzles.
Yeah,
maybe. We have two puzzles that we need to do.
Although with the advent of Tech-Free Saturday, we might be able to do more puzzle.
It's true. This year we've been doing Tech-Free Saturday. Since COVID started, we've been doing Tech-Free Saturdays.
Well, we took a break in the middle of that.
That's true. We slacked off on our Tech-Free Saturdays for a little while. My very favorite, though, is a tradition that I think we will carry on forever. I think it's a favorite of all of our kids, too, is 10 things, we call it. So Christmas Eve, every year, the December magic card would remind you to write 10 things that you love about every person in the family. And it started out with literally just numbering 10 things.
Yeah, on a cue card is usually how we'd do it.
Yeah.
And then over time, we kind of expanded. And so even though the concept is 10 things, one year I wrote letters instead. One year I did like a poem for each of the kids.
Yeah. Some of the kids have done poems too, or just letters or memories that they have. Yeah. I think one of my favorite was Shiloh a few years ago did like a body themed one. So she would say, I love your arms to hug me with. I love your ears to listen to my stories. I love your belly because I lived there once. That was pretty good. Yeah. And then we would be writing them for the rest of the month. And we would open them midnight on January 1st. Yeah. So we could start the new year with all of this positive relational stuff.
And if you're wondering why it takes a week to write them, we're now on round 11 of these, right? And so you don't want to repeat yourself year after year. And so trying to think of 10 brand new things that you haven't said the last 100 things before, right? So it gets complicated a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and we've grown. There's more of us. So significant others have been added into the mix.
Yep.
And a few years we've had young adults who live with us and we can't do 10 things if they're here without them. We got to do it with them, right? Yep. So, so we've done that as well. I think that is the tradition that will stay forever and ever is that one. Now, none of what we've shared specifically talks about Christmas, the season, the reason for the season. Obviously, we are people of faith. But one of the things that we realized in uprooting our lives and turning it upside down is Christmas can be a time of being way too busy and really focused on consumerism or the show. And by sitting down and being a little more intentional each day, even if it's only 5 minutes a day with your family, it's easier to talk about why you do the things you do and the values that you have. And I think those have been really valuable things for us in the last 10 years.
In the last couple of years, Sarah's added the Advent cycle also into the process. And so with the daily reading and some questions and the candles and all that kind of stuff, kind of, which is, it's kind of refreshing to me, because normally those sort of traditional things would be the stuff that are the standard thing. But I grew up in a very Pentecostal upbringing where we kind of put aside the liturgy. And it's kind of neat as an adult now to re-explore the more liturgical side and the rhythms that come with the church calendar and that kind of stuff. And so it's been kind of neat to be able to see adding the faith aspect to the winter holidays we're having in a new way for us, or for me at least. I guess you had some liturgy as a kid.
Yeah, when I was really little, I did. But it's the Advent thing is pretty new for me as well. I particularly like the idea of lighting the candles. I'm not a very still person, but you're not supposed to leave candles unattended. And so it sounds ridiculous, but that's part of it for me is the meditative way that a candle kind of makes you present and be still. So, and we both know stillness is just really not my forte, especially in a fun time of year. That's our big list. I think we can't end this honestly without also admitting that at least for the last 4 years, we have needed to watch a particular Christmas movie.
That's true.
And there is debate every time. But Hannah is always outnumbered.
Yes. Die Hard is the best Christmas movie of all.
It is. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
In fact, you can buy an advent calendar that has Hans Gruber falling from Nakatoshi Plaza. And then it goes, you slide him down a notch every day as he's falling towards the end of Christmas. And then you can open up the new thing that, you know, and pull your chocolate or whatever out from the thing. I wish I could have found it this year to order it. I think the family would have loved it, but I didn't hear about it until a couple days ago.
I can't believe you've known this exists and you didn't tell me until
again, for,
now.
Again, for a couple days. I've done this for a couple days.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So Hans Gruber falling to his death is the... it's not the true meaning of Christmas, but it sure is a good side.
It's not the true meaning of Christmas. So we'd love to know about your Christmas traditions. I have no idea what Alex is doing with this now or where he's posting it or where it will exist. But if there's a place for comments, I'd love to hear about your different Christmas traditions and what is most meaningful to you this time of year.
We're going to make these as regularly as we can. Our lives are kind of weird and complicated, but we will try to fairly regularly have an updated version of the show. And so we probably also will eventually have some sort of discussion group on Facebook or something that is simple to do. But we will let you know more about that when I actually get around to doing it.
Do you know my favorite part about this whole experience is?
That you don't have to do the detail part?
No, that you just are unilaterally deciding things and I find out at the same time as everyone else.
Yep.
Okay, super fun. Yeah, I can't wait till we start talking about marriage. That'll be amazing.
Yep, we're really good at that part.
Okay, yes we are. All right, well, thanks so much guys for listening and yeah, it's been swell.
Yep, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.